We're doing the Navi Yeshaya. We're up to what they call the sixth chapter, the sixth Pasuk. And we had seen last week that Yeshayahu made the fatal error of saying, how could I talk? I am among a defiled nation. I am a man with defiled lips among a people who have defiled lips. And Yeshaya is going to pay for that sentence with his life. At the end of his days, Yeshaya is killed by his grandson, and the way he is killed is through his mouth. His grandson cuts him from his mouth down through his skull. His grandson, the king Menashe, who was very wicked until he did tshuva. So our tradition is that that's how he died. It doesn't say it in the book of Yeshaya. It says it in the Talmud. And our tradition is that the reason he died that way was because of this sentence that he said. I have defiled lips, and I'm among a nation who has defiled lips. And we discussed last week how minuscule that sin was, but for a giant like Yeshaya, that carried weight. Yes?
Why did you do tshuva over cleaving somebody and not, especially your father? I mean, he did tshuva. We did tshuva if we ate something, if we didn't make the bracha, if we didn't guard our eyes. He kills his own father, cuts him in half with a sword.
I rather strengthen your question than answer it. It says that when Menashe was king, there was a period that there was a river knee-high of blood from all the people he murdered. And further, the Talmud says that there wasn't an idol in the world that he didn't serve. And further, the Talmud says that he went and erased in all the Torah scrolls God's name and stuck in names of idols. In the beginning, Zeus created the heaven and the earth. And everywhere throughout the Torah, he spent time to ensure his pagan gods would appear. And there are other examples of the tremendously evil things he did. So what does that tell us? That tshuva is a possibility. Even that we have hope, right? We have hope. We have hope, and I'll tell you even further. So, in the book of Melachim, in the book of Kings, the Navi Yeshaya wrote the book of Kings. I'm sorry, Yirmiah wrote the book of Kings. No. The Navi Yirmiah writes that it was because of the sins of Menashe that the temple was destroyed. But if you look in the book of Divrei Hayamim in Chronicles, there you discover that Menashe did tshuva. And there's a medrash that discusses the different rooms in the Garden of Eden, in Olam Haba. And the room for Chozrim b'tshuva, they enter the world to come and they enter an elevator, zhup, they get shot up. And they go to a special room, a special academy to learn in, where the Rosh Yeshiva is Menashe. Yes. Yes, the Talmud says that when the rabbis came to learn about Menashe, so one of the rabbis said, tomorrow we're going to learn about our friends. And he said it, obviously, slightly derogatorily. And that night, Menashe shows up to him in a dream and says, tell me, when you come to make a blessing over bread, where do you put your hands? What part of the bread do you make the blessing on? So the rabbi said, gee, I don't know. So he said to him, you don't even know how to break bread halachically, and you're calling me your friend? Who do you think you are? So he looked at him and said, well, then why'd you lead a life like that? And Menashe said, if you would have been in my generation, you would have lifted up your coat so it shouldn't get in your way as you're running after paganism. You have no idea what the desire for paganism was like in my day. And so the next day, when he came in to give class, he said, now we have to talk about the ones we have such respect for. He spoke about Menashe. But Menashe did repent. That's what it says in the book of Divrei Hayomim, that he did repent, and that's another fine example of the capacity of tshuva. Pasuk Vav. So, after Yeshaya says that, the Navi describes the following. Vayaof Eilai Echad min ha-serafim Uveyado Ritzpah Bemel kachayim Lakach Meyal ha-mizbeach. So one of these angels called Seraphim flew towards me, towards Yeshaya, and he was holding a coal, a ritzpah. Ritzpah is a burning coal. And he had to hold on to it with pliers, with, what do you call those things, tongs. He had it b'mel kachayim. And he took it off of the altar. So you see, even the angel couldn't touch this burning coal. Vayaga alpi. And he put that coal on my mouth. Vayomer hine nagaze al sifatecha. And the coal scorched his mouth. And he said to him, here, this has touched your lips. Vesar avonecha. So the simple reading of the verse is, you're saying my lips are defiled. Here, I've cleansed your lips. I've touched you with this burning coal. Now you could go on and be God's prophet. So our sages flip the pasuk. Our sages tell us the interpretation of the pasuk is the exact opposite. The angel was coming and telling Yeshaya, now you dared say that about my people, that you're among a nation of defiled lips. Now I have to purify your lips. Before you said that, you could have been my prophet. But now that you said such a thing about my people, now I'll have to repurify your lips now. And that's what he was doing with the coal. He said, I touched your lips with this burning coal, and now you can, your sin has been covered to the degree that you can continue and be my emissary. But it's interesting how Chazal understood within the pasuk the exact opposite of what we would understand. Vayishma et kol Adonai omer et mi eshlach umi yelech lanu. And then I heard God saying, who will I send as a prophet? Who will be our emissary to rebuke the Jewish people? I sent the Navi Amos. And they said to him, you stutterer. He couldn't talk clearly. He prophesied 2 years earlier. And the people were saying, God's run out of messengers. He has to get this guy who can't talk clearly. He's the one he's sending for us. So who can I send? I sent the prophet Micha, and they smacked him up. They wouldn't hear him. They said, we don't want to hear you. Stop talking. So who am I going to send now? Et mi eshlach umi elech lanu? Who am I going to send? Who's going to go on our behalf? Va'omar hineni shilacheni. And I said, I am here, ready to do my job. You can send me. Vayomer lech ve'amarta la'am hazeh. So he said to the Navi Yeshaya, go tell this nation, shimu shamoa ve'al tavinu u'u ra'o ve'al teidahu. You hear, but you're not understanding. I tell you, shim'u shamoa. I tell you, listen to my prophets. And you are ve'al tavinu. You refuse to understand. I say, ure'u ra'o. Don't you see you're in decline? Don't you see you're in danger? And you say, ve'al teidahu. You don't want to know. You're not willing to take note of the dangers that are standing opposite you. Hashmein levam hazeh. And here there are two interpretations to this pasuk. One understanding is this nation's heart is covered with fat. It's become stupid. and their material desires have overtaken their hearts. They're not willing to listen. Those navach beit veinav Hashem, and their ears have gone deaf, and their eyes have been sealed shut. That's one understanding. So they're refusing to hear, they're refusing to listen, they're refusing to understand. Ben yireh ve'einav uveoznav yishma ulvavo yavin vashav verafalo. They're not interested in hearing what the prophets say, because maybe he'll convince me. You know, there's a famous story about a woman who came to a rabbi and said, "I'd be observant if anyone would just take the time to answer my questions." And the rabbi said, "What time works for you tomorrow?" And the woman said, "I'm sorry, I'm very busy." So the Navi is describing how the nation refuses to listen because they're scared, "Hey, maybe I'll be convinced." I think for now we'll stick with that one. There's a There's a very fine difference between two interpretations in the Pasuk. Rashi and the Targum learn that the focus of the Pasuk is the lev, meaning their hearts have been covered with fat, they refuse to listen, and so their ears have been have turned deaf, and their eyes have been sealed, lest they understand all this and they do tshuva. There's another interpretation here, which again the difference between them is subtle, but it's important, and that is that we're talking about the yetzer hara within the heart, and then it's as though the pasuk, there are two interpretations in the Pasuk. One is active and one is descriptive. We learned that it's descriptive, that the Navi is describing the state of the nation. This is where they are. They don't want to hear, they don't want to think, they don't want to see. There's another interpretation here that says it's active. Their hearts should be covered, their eyes should be sealed, their ears should become deaf. They should not see, they should not hear, they should not be prepared, they should not do tshuva. And then the question is that what God's saying here? Another interpretation is that it's the yetzer hara that's within the heart that's talking. The yetzer keeps saying, cover up that heart, cover up those ears, cover up those eyes, don't let him realize what's going on here. Now, there's a third interpretation here, which is that that's Hashem's decree. That the sins come to a point where Hashem says, okay, if they're not interested, so then that's it. Then they're not going to understand anymore. They're going to see the destruction coming, and they won't have the intellect to overcome it. And then it's as though Hashem's decreeing. Their hearts are going to be covered. They're going to vote in someone who all logic would point otherwise. Their ears are going to be covered. Their eyes are going to be covered. Suddenly they're going to say, how did I not see where I was headed? Isn't it amazing? I can't understand it. I can't.
What, the Jewish
folk?
Or the
folk?
Mainly the Jewish
folk. Va'omar ad matai Adonai. So I said, says the Navi, till when? Till when will this decree continue? And we'll pick up here, Bizanchim, next week.